Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Cyrus, guess how many emails came into my email box since, and we're talking about show emails, since yesterday, since we finished the show yesterday.
Well, you're a popular guy. I don't know, seven?
51.
That's actually less than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it would be in the hundreds.
It's remarkable how many people are into. Yeah, you know, we've had busier days than that, but I think I'd like to get into some of those emails. And my thanks to everybody who sends emails in. I read them all. Thank you. They come directly to me, so they don't have to go through a secretary or anything like that. I can't obviously read all of them on the air, so I'm looking for those that stick out, and the shorter the better. So if you send me an email that's a paragraph or two, I can very likely read it. If it's beyond two, three paragraphs, probably can't. So just FYI, here's one that comes in from Dominic, listening in Los Angeles on 93KHJ. I like saying that.
93KHJ!
They hit those high notes. I don't think I can hit those high notes anymore. So subject, the Last Supper Mass. You responded today, and he's referring to a previous show. He probably heard a re-airing of it. You responded to an email about the traditional Latin Mass versus the Novus Ordo Mass. You compared the Last Supper Mass to the traditional Latin Mass, saying Jesus did not celebrate a traditional Latin Mass at the Last Supper. However, you failed to acknowledge that Jesus did not celebrate anything. Hang on, something just popped up on my screen and covered my email. You failed to acknowledge that Jesus did not celebrate anything close to the Novus Ordo Mass. Arguably, the Last Supper was similar to the traditional Latin Mass than it was to the Novus Ordo Mass. Please be fair and compare the Last Supper to both rather than only one. God bless. All right, Dominic, here's the thing. The point of my commentary was not to compare the traditional Latin Mass to the Novus Ordo Mass per se, or the traditional Latin Mass to the Last Supper, or the Novus Ordo Mass to the Last Supper. I think you kind of missed the point. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to restate it. The point I was trying to make is that the Mass is the Mass is the Mass. And for those who, like me, really like the traditional Latin Mass, my wife and I, we attend a parish in our diocese where there is no traditional Latin Mass. And I very often am not able to go to a traditional Latin Mass. When I can, I enjoy doing so because it's part of our rich patrimony of the faith. So please understand where I'm coming from. I love the traditional Latin Mass. And it's acknowledging, nonetheless, that at the Last Supper, Jesus did not celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. That's the point, which may have gotten by you. So if you thought, well, how come you compared one, the traditional Latin Mass to the Last Supper, or contrasted it, and you didn't do the Novus Ordo Mass? Because that wasn't the point. The point is to say that if you love the traditional Latin Mass and you find it more beneficial to your heart and your soul, and you feel more spiritually fed and all of the above, and many people do, and I like it myself, as I've said before. The point is that if you go to Mass and it is the Mass, then it is the Mass because it's the Mass. And because Jesus did not celebrate the traditional Latin Mass, we see there an example of how you can go to a Mass that doesn't have the smells and bells, that doesn't have the incense and the elaborate vestments and the polyphony or palestrina, that doesn't have Gregorian chant, that doesn't have the many things that we appreciate about the traditional Latin Mass, just like it was at the Last Supper. And yet you're still going to the Mass. You still have a valid Holy Eucharist. That's the point. There were no felt banners at the Last Supper, granted. There were no guitars at the Last Supper, granted. There was nothing happy-clappy about the Last Supper, granted. Now, that does not describe all Novus Ordo masses. It describes some where there are abuses that take place, but it certainly doesn't describe all. It certainly doesn't describe how the mass is celebrated at the parish that my wife and I attend. It's thrilling, if you ask me. And it's the new rite of the mass. So does that make more sense to you now? I mean, maybe you've lined up on one side or the other of this polemic. I don't know. And maybe that's where you're coming from when you wrote me this email. But once again, I wasn't trying to make a point about the Latin Mass being better than the new Mass or anything else, just to say, if you can't get to a Latin Mass, and if that's your preference, and you can't get to one because you can't, go to a new rite of the Mass. And if you don't like the new rite of the Mass, well, I would ask you to ponder if maybe you're missing something here, and that is that the Mass is the Mass is the Mass. I do appreciate
clear.
Your email, though. Thank you. Crystal.
Are we clear?
Crystal. This one comes in from Chris, listening in San Francisco on 1260 AM. And the subject is the suitability of violence in such and such in films and art. Mr. Madrid, the other day I heard your comment about what is appropriate in films and arts and what point we should simply detach ourselves from the junk. Well, correction, if I may. I wasn't saying what is appropriate as a general principle for everybody. I was sharing what my view of this is. So my personal threshold. I think I was talking about thresholds, and if it's beyond my threshold when it comes to profanity or something like that, then I punch out and I'm done with the movie. So just understand, I wasn't saying this is how everybody should view this. I'm just saying that's my view. So he says, for the sake of some perspective, I haven't owned a functional television since 2008. Perhaps how the violence and profanity is portrayed matters. The film For Greater Glory depicts violence but doesn't glory in it. The Passion of the Christ also presents violence but doesn't revel in it. Even something like Schindler's List, which has some very questionable scenes, I would say they go beyond questionable, doesn't present the violence and the mistreatment of women as something to be emulated. I recognize that in our own society, I'm in California, he says, there's a tendency to go from prudishness to licentiousness without any respite. God bless you and your work. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. So here again, this is a matter of personal, you know yourself, know your limits, know your weaknesses, know where you're going to find a difficulty and try to avoid it if you can. That's what I do. And this extends not only, Chris, to violence and things like that, but as I've shared before, I don't watch movies that have to do with diabolical possession. So the exorcism, what is it, Cyrus, the exorcism of Emily Rose, something like that? We talked about that years ago.
Yeah.
I'll never go see that movie. Never, ever, ever. Because I just don't want those images in my mind. And knowing me, I know my limits and I know my weaknesses. And I know that I have a very active imagination, and whatever the scary scenes are from that movie are likely to pop into my brain at all the wrong moments. So I'm a risk avoider when it comes to that kind of thing. And I know you look at it differently than I do, because you're not bothered that way the way I would be. So what can I say? Cyrus has that look on his face.
I almost feel guilty that they don't bother me. It's just
And I think different
good
people.
Story. As long as it's story and character, that's what I care about. But I understand.
What's that song?
I understand your point of view, because my wife shares
different,
it.
Different strokes for different folks, and so on and so on, and shooby dooby dooby.
What you talking about, Willis?
You know who that is, by the way? Do you know who that band is?
No.
Sly and the Family Stone.
All right.
Look it up.
Note to self.
Great song. I have a note here from Robert, listening in Providence on our 5:50 a.m. station, and the subject is Patrick's health. When I saw that, I thought, is this from the doctor? And Robert says, hi, Patrick, just sending a note, hoping everything is fine with you and your family. I have not seen any of your shows on. Prayers for you and yours, Bob. Well, thank you, Bob. Very kind of you. My health is fine, as far as I know, anyway. Last time I went to the doctor, everything checked out. So fingers crossed. I wonder if you maybe didn't see the show because I was off, maybe in the last week or two, perhaps. I don't know. But I do appreciate the kind word and the concern about my health. Everything is fine. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to a certain young man in San Diego named Al. Buenos dias, Al. Muchas enchiladas.
Muchas enchiladas. Buenos dias, Patrick. Reading through the Old Testament, you know, over the years, I've read this plenty of times. That's Hosea chapter 4, 1 through 6. Okay. And really had an effect on me, like, are we going through this right now? So I wanted your interpretation on that, if we could, please.
Okay, let me pull it up here. So here it is. And you want verses 1 through 6?
1 through 6.
Okay, here we go. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or kindness and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, killing, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds, and murder follows murder. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend, and let no one accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. I think there he's referring maybe to Mother Earth. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So there we have it. So what is your thought about this passage?
Wow. It's, I talked it over with some friends. I sent it out and everything. And I really feel... You know, listening through the years, global warming and pollution by fossil fuels and everything, and I really feel it's the pollution of sin. And it says it in other places, especially in the Old Testament. And my heart goes out for priests. I pray for all our priests and everything. And I know myself, and growing up in the Catholic Church as a cradle Catholic, you know, making my confirmation, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, no more information, no more learning about my wonderful Catholic faith. And I strayed here and there, not at the fault of the, I blame myself more than I ever do priests and stuff. You know, I got the foundation from the Catholic nuns, you know, as a young boy. Mm-hmm. But as you know, I don't have to tell you, we, through the generations, not just right now, we've had not so good priests. And the knowledge, I could never be in front of God saying, well, the priest never told me this or that. That's my fault. You know, so many things I didn't pass on to my kids, not till they were out of high school. And, you know, it's still an ongoing thing. So when it says my contention is with you, priests, well, I include myself in there that I should have been more able to teach my kids. I'm doing that with my grandchildren now, thank God.
That's
but
good.
It just really tells me that we're something big is around the corner real quick. So anyway,
maybe, and in a way, I hope not, because I'm just I hope God is merciful to us, to this country. I don't think we deserve it. At least as a country, I don't think we deserve it right now. But there's so many good people in this country. In a way, I kind of feel like Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe you feel the same way at times, Al. For the sake, Lord, for the sake of 50 good men, will you spare the city? Yeah, I'll spare it for 50. Well, what about 40? Yes, I'll spare it for 40. Well, what about 30? What if there are only 30 good men? You know, he keeps hedging and hedging and hedging, gets down to like 5. And God says, yes, for the sake of those 5, I will spare the city. And then what happens? The city goes up in flames because apparently, there weren't even 5 righteous people. So there are moments when I think about all the good, innocent, virtuous people who are trying to live lives of holiness, and we're in a civilization, we're in a society that is going headlong in the other direction. But I take some encouragement from this, Al, first of all, because God is patient. Look how patient he's been with you and how patient he's been with me.
Yes.
And so that kind of patience, I implore God for his continued patience for us as a country and for the whole world. So what a beautiful thing that you saw yourself reflected in that passage. I think some people might have said, oh yeah, those priests, those bad priests, and they would have left it there. But for you to go deeper and to see yourself there, because, you know, when you think about it, as the father the pater familias, you are in a priestly role to your family. You are set apart to lead them in that fashion, not in the fashion of an ordained priest, but there is a kind of priesthood of fatherhood that's involved. And I'm so glad to know that this is something that you saw in Scripture. I think it's great.
No, and just what you guys are doing on Relevant Radio, I was telling the guy at the beginning when he got my call, and I told him we were talking about you, and I said, Patrick is the kind of guy that he would pay to be doing this show, you know, or do it
don't
for free.
Don't tell Father Rock, because he might take me up on that. You know, I think I would.
But I really
love
your
what
comment.
I do. I love what I do. I'm grateful for what I'm able to do. I don't take it for granted. There are plenty of smarter, more talented people out there who could be doing this. And for some reason, I get to do it. And so I pinch myself every day, Al, when I think about how blessed I am to have this opportunity. I'll give you the last word.
Well, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that you come to San Diego. You're all over the country and everything. And I know you worked at Catholic Answers and all that. But it'd be nice to put something on real big over here with thousands of people, and you and maybe some other people to really talk to us about our faith and everything that's going on. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Al. Appreciate that. Well, one thing I can tell you for sure is that I have the next best thing, and that is 3 hours with you every single day. So everybody in SoCal who's listening on 93KHJ or 1000 AM in San Diego or any of our other Southern California stations, so we get to get together for 3 hours a day by the billions, which I love. Thanks, Al. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Diane now in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Hi, Diane. Hello, Diane. Well, Diane's not ready. See, that's what happens. We'll put Diane on hold. If you're on hold and it's suddenly your turn, if you're distracted or listening to the radio or you're down the hall making a sandwich or whatever it is, you see what happens.
So bye-bye.
Some people wait
bye-bye.
A long time.
Bye-bye.
They wait a long time to get on the air, and then when the time comes, they're not ready. So as the Boy Scouts motto says, be prepared. I'll take a break, and I'll be right back with your phone calls and more emails, plenty of those. My number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I will be right back on Taco Tuesday right after this. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code Patrick for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep our stations running. Join in with hundreds of other listeners who have donated their used vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Patrick Madrid is on Coast to Coast on Relevant Radio.
This is how we feel on a Taco Tuesday here at the Patrick Madrid Show. Right. Every day is Taco Tuesday, if you ask me. 888-914-9149. Here's a note that comes in from Anna, listening on the Relevant Radio app. She says, Patrick, my daughter and I are living with her father. We are not married. We are being offered an apartment for us. Should we take it? Well, I don't know how to read your email to know for sure how you mean it. So if you're living with your boyfriend, her father, and you're being offered an apartment where you and your daughter can move out of that situation and live in that apartment, and then you wouldn't be living with this man who's not your husband. Should you take it? Yeah, I would take it. Get out of that situation. Now, maybe he's a good guy, and maybe there's a possibility there for marriage. You can't really find out if you're living together. So if you want to take steps to get right with God and get your situation back on track and get her, you didn't say how old your daughter is, but I'm assuming she's a child, You don't want her in a situation where there's kind of continuous scandal going on. So if that's what you mean, then I would say yes. Now, if you mean that the three of you would move into the apartment, I would say, well, that's just jumping from the frying pan into the fire, isn't it? So I'm assuming you meant it the first way. And if that's the case, that's my advice. And I hope it works out for you. I really do. Thank you for writing to me. Let's go now. Excuse me. Let's go now to Diane in St. Cloud, Minnesota. We'll try it again. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, hi, Patrick. I just have a quick question. I apologize for my delay earlier. I just have a quick question about the first Saturday devotions to the Sacred Heart of Mary. I don't have access to communion Saturday or Mass Saturday morning, and I understand you don't have to go to Mass, but you do have to have communion. If I go to communion at 4 p.m. on a Saturday for the Sunday obligation, does that count?
So if you're going to the vigil Mass on Saturday as your devotion Mass, and you want to know if that same Mass would count as your Sunday obligation for the following day, do I have it right?
Well, if I go to Mass on Saturday night as my Sunday, will the communion also count as the Saturday? So, yeah, do yes. I have to go again on Sunday for it to count?
No, no. So the Mass that you attend on Saturday, so that's the vigil Mass, that satisfies for the first Saturday's devotion. So it also says go to confession, receive Holy Communion, say five decades of the rosary and meditate upon them for 15 minutes, which is about how long it takes the average person to pray five decades of the rosary. So that's
those
what's
I have covered. I was just wondering about communion. I thought you said once before the Saturday night counted, and a bunch of people told me I had to be wrong. So thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome, Diane. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, the thing to remember is that the church doesn't want to bog you down with endless and unnecessary requirements, and you must do it exactly this way. I mean, some things are like that for good reason, but the spirit of trying to fulfill this request to make the five first Saturdays, the idea is to do something loving for God and loving and honoring for Our Lady. So the church doesn't want to make it difficult for you. The church wants it to be as reasonable and easy as possible. Hence, it would count. So thanks, Diane. Appreciate that. How about Patrick now in Trenton, New Jersey? Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Okay, so I spoke with you a couple of weeks ago. My father passed away. I had managed to get him to the anointing of the sick, and it was just great. I felt great about that. So here's my next issue. My sister has all the do everything. My father gave my sister all the rights, and she's not having a funeral for him. And she plans on sneaking his ashes.
He gave your sister what? I didn't quite catch that.
My father gave my sister say in everything. Like I said, I have really no say in anything that happens from here on out.
Oh, I see. So she's like the executor of his wishes, kind of thing.
I have no say in anything. I managed to get him anointed, and so she plans on taking his ashes and sprinkling them in the graveyard in the cemetery above his parents. And I said, you cannot do that. And so I'm a little frustrated now, and I'm just wondering, do you have any words that I can kind of maybe, say to her to talk some sense into her?
Well, let's try this. First of all, what kind of relationship do you have with her?
I mean, she kind of put it on the hold because I told her, you can't do that. You cannot go in there. So she's kind of at a hold with what she's going to do right now.
But what kind of relationship do you have with her as your sister? Are you guys close? Are you not close? Do you talk often? Is it a distant relationship or is it friendly? Is she bossy? Are you bossy? I mean, those kind of details, and maybe I don't even need to know, but I'm asking them because how you approach her, I should think, would depend upon what kind of relationship you have with her. So I'll cut to the chase. If it were me and I had some kind of relationship with this sister, I would say, please hear me out, okay? I love Dad, you love Dad. he's my dad too. And I was involved in trying to help him get ready to go to heaven. Thanks be to God, he received the sacraments, etc. And I know that must make you happy too. I want to be able to go to a place a year from now, 5 years from now, 50 years from now. I don't know how old you are. And I want to be able to go to Dad's grave. I want to be able to go to a place where I know his remains are there so that I can remember him in a particular way. And if you do this, which, by the way, the church says you shouldn't do, it's going to make it difficult. It's going to make it impossible for me and for anyone else to be able to have a place we can go to where his ashes are interred in a columbarium or in a niche, or if he's buried. Well, I guess he's not buried, so if his ashes. Could you just do this for me? Because I and other family members, we want to be able to go to a place and remember him in this way. And if you sprinkle the ashes, which the church says don't do, we'll never be able to do that. And we'll never be able to change that. It'll always be unavailable to us. And that would really be sad for me and for other people. Can we just do it that way? And, you know, if you could see your way clear to doing that, you're going to make a whole lot of us happy. Maybe you can appeal to her on those grounds. You know, the whole idea of if you do this, you're going to make me and other people very unhappy, and you'll deprive us of this opportunity. Perhaps that kind of an appeal might win her over and soften her heart a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely worth a try. It's definitely worth a try. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't really have the words and know what to say to her. But.
Yeah, make it heartfelt would be my advice. Heartfelt. Tell her you love her. Tell her, you know, it's hard for her too, and you're all going through grief together, and all of the above that I just said. One final thing I'd like to mention, Patrick, though, and this comes up often, I've found. Please understand, and I hope this gives you some encouragement and some consolation, the disposition of the body or the remains of the body in no way affects your father's eternal salvation. It doesn't have any negative effect on him at all. So let's say that your sister just willfully says, sorry, I'm going to scatter those ashes. That does not affect your father's situation now in the afterlife at all. Those things, burial, if the body is cremated, putting the ashes in a columbarium or in a, those are for us, the living. That's for us to be able to properly show respect and honor to somebody who has died. It doesn't have any effect at all. So let's say somebody dies and some atheist family member insists that the person not be buried in a Catholic cemetery in blessed ground, and the body gets buried in some secular, it has no effect whatsoever on that person who died. And I've found that this is a concern that some people have, because they fret and they worry. Well, if they scatter his ashes, what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything as far as that person is concerned. So I just want to make that part clearer so that you don't worry about that, okay? If it turns out that your sister doesn't do it the way you'd like her to do, I know that's hard, and I would feel bad about that as well, but you don't have to worry on your father's account if it goes in that direction. You see what I'm saying, Patrick?
Thank you so much, Pastor.
You got it. Okay, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Lon now in Naples, Florida, that is. Good morning, Lon.
Yes, good morning, Patrick. How good of you to spend your time with me. Thank you
to
your whole crew, and you've put me on the right path, and I have heard this question.
This is the lawn care portion of the show today. Go ahead, Lon.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that part of it.
I bet you have.
It's an Irish name. Anyway, I do want to get to the point about this all. Do animals go to heaven? And I'd heard the discussion earlier, and I wanted to call in and let you know, in addition to Thomas Aquinas, who had something to say about it, the good book, the Old Testament has Ecclesiastes. And if you want to go to Ecclesiastes, it's chapter 3. It looks like...
Well, let me stop you right there, Lon. What are we talking about? I'm not really sure what the point is that you're making.
Oh, okay. So there have been numerous occasions when sometimes, unfortunately, be a child calling in and asking whether an animal would go to heaven. And much as it might distress us, we, you know, have to, you know, like they also may want to have Santa Claus, and that's all part of their childhood. But they've been, have to say, well, there's rules, you know, and this kind of thing. And if you don't mind, I'll just read what Ecclesiastes has to say about it.
Okay. Okay.
If you want to, you could look at verse 19. It says, "For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from dust, and to dust they return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beasts go down into the earth?" Now, I just wanted to just mention two episodes. You're familiar with The Twilight Zone from Rod Serling. He did an episode concerning this man with his dog. They're out hunting. Dog goes into the pond. Dog doesn't come back up. Man jumps in. They both come up.
I remember it well. Well, and they both wind up in heaven, or they both wind up in the afterlife. And then that slick huckster wants them to come into quote-unquote heaven, but there's no dogs allowed in heaven. And that makes the guy kind of skittish.
Right, so they're walking down the road, and they come to
I know the episode.
No one can see
I know the episode. You don't have to explain it to me, Lon. You don't have to explain it to me. I know it well. So what about
that? There you go. And so finally comes to the other gate where the fellow's sitting on the gate, and he says, well, the man down the road says, my dog's not allowed in. And he says, oh, that guy, he's fooled.
Well, hey, Lon, I know the episode forward and backward. You don't have to recount it for me. So what about that? What's the point you want to make about that?
Okay, what I'm trying to say, does that seem to hold any water when you think about what it says here in Ecclesiastes?
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. So I'll try to parse it this way. First of all, I love that episode of The Twilight Zone. I love The Twilight Zone in general. And that's one of my favorite episodes. And because the quote-unquote heaven gate doesn't allow dogs in there, that's what makes the guy uncomfortable. And then further on, he finds out when he gets to the real heaven, he finds out that first one was actually the gate to hell. Please understand that the Twilight Zone episode does not reflect in any way theologically or biblically. It's just a, you know, kind of an interesting story. So I wouldn't look to the Twilight Zone for any confirmation of an interpretation of the book of Ecclesiastes. But Ecclesiastes here is referring to how everybody dies. All animals die and all humans die. And so it's referring to the ultimate end for everything. And as it says in verse 5, if this is the passage that you're talking about, because man goes to his eternal home and the mourners go about the streets before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is broken at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. The emphasis here is that it's talking about the brevity of life and the finality of this earthly life. It's going to end. And so all of the silver and the gold and the nice things and the big houses, as we see referenced in verse 6, these things are passing at best. They're transitory. They're fleeting. So I wouldn't lean too heavily on this and say, therefore, we can say with certitude that the dog or the cat or the grasshopper or whatever is going to go to heaven. It's not trying to make that point. It's just saying that this is the end. And all I can say on the issue of animals going to heaven is that an authority, no less than St. Thomas Aquinas himself, and he also echoes what St. Augustine had to say, says that because animals do not have eternal souls the way human beings do, and because animals, although they do have souls, there's no doubt about it, because if they're alive, that soul is animating their bodies. But the soul of a dog, let's say, is ordered to do all those things that the body of the dog enables it to do. So the soul of a dog has the capability of everything that dogs are able to do with their limited intelligence. And when the body of the dog dies, when the soul and the body separate, there's nothing more that the soul can do apart from the body. That's the point that St. Thomas makes, that unlike human beings, animal souls, they can't do anything other than animate the body. So when the body dies, the soul disappears. In other words, human beings are different because we're made in the image and likeness of God. We have a rational soul, which is higher than that of the animal souls, that can do things that are not necessary to be united to the body in order to do. So most of the things that we do with our minds, we do in and through our bodies. But the mind can also do things, the soul rather, can do things separate from the body. So this is one of the fundamental reasons why in the case of a rational soul, a human being, when the body and the soul separate, that soul continues and it will live on forever. So I understand the controversy, and I've seen all the Bible verses where it talks about animals in the afterlife and things. So I grant all of those things, but it nonetheless doesn't settle the issue one way or the other. So the view I take is, I personally hold St. Thomas Aquinas's view, but I am prepared to be surprised, and I'm prepared to be delighted by what God has in store for us in heaven. And if it should happen that my and St. Thomas Aquinas's understanding of this is incorrect, so much the better. Hip, hip, hooray. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, if there are animals in heaven. I just don't think the evidence supports that view. Anyway, I'll have to leave it at that. Thank you. I appreciate the call, Lon. Great talking to you. We're going to come right back. As you can imagine, we have to take a break here or there. We have a celebrity inquisition round coming up later in the program today. I'll tell you about that when we come back. You don't want to miss it. And you don't want to miss out on your free copy of my new book, Inquisition. Question and answer for the curious Catholic or the Catholic curious. To get your absolutely 100% free book, just go to relevantradio.com/quiz. Order it now before they're all gone. This hour is sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare, the first to offer comprehensive sharing for prescription medications. Check now to see how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
All right, this is the kind of Taco Tuesday music I like. And added bonus, there's going to be an Inquisition celebrity, I won't call it a death match, but a celebrity match. They're going to be racking their brains and stretching their knowledge today. That'll be Josh Raymond, host of the Inner Life program, and Cale Clark of the Cale Clark Show. They're going to be on later today. And Cyrus, I understand that we have a little spot that talks about that.
Yeah, Cale just tweeted at me and said, is it too late to study for this?
You better be cramming, young man. You better be cramming.
All right, yeah. So check this. Right. Check out this.
Okay.
It resonates in the hearts of Americans from Maui to Maine. Two relevant radio celebs battle one another in answering Catholic quiz questions from Patrick Madrid's new book, Celebrity Inquisition. Don't miss an epic battle of Catholic wits between faith expert Cale Clark, the Canadian Kid, and underdog Jolton Josh Raymond, who tells us he's been to the library a few times and likes pizza. Cale versus Josh, Celebrity Inquisition, this morning at 10:30 Central on Relevant Radio.
That's great.
It's awesome.
That's Neil Robbins putting that together.
The genius, Neil Robbins.
He's a genius.
He is. He's the best.
It's amazing what he does. Yeah, I heard that mildly depressed happy meal or the mildly depressed meal that we did 2 years ago. I heard that on the radio this morning. That's funny. Another Neil Robbins one. Hey, I saw earlier this morning Josh was in a meatpacking plant punching sides of beef. He was like slugging away at these sides of beef. Can't even say the words. So he must be getting ready. For the celebrity
he's getting
match.
Ready for the wrong contest, if that's what he's doing.
Yeah, and I saw Cale Clark jogging up the stairs, you know, with his fists above his head. I think they're getting into this, aren't they? You're trying to find the music. I can tell.
I'm going scrambling. As fast as I can.
I can see that. I can see your fingers are fumbling. Yeah.
Yeah. Too late.
So while while Josh is in the meat packing plant punching away at the sides of beef, Cale is jauntily prancing up the steps. Prancing's not the right word.
Jauntily prancing.
He's sauntering up those steps.
Oh no, no.
Fist
no take
over
backs.
His head. Yeah. Well, that's
oh, that's too funny. This is going to be really fun. Right, this is 10:30 today. Today. 10:30 a.m. Central, right here.
Final half hour.
Don't miss it.
It's kind of like the final countdown.
I'm not playing the final countdown.
Their noses are in that book right now, just cramming. Let me tell you about the book. This is fun. You know, Cyrus, I've had a really good time because I have some bootleg copies that I was given because I'm the author. So they gave me some freebies and I've distributed them around to some friends and family. And it's the same with each person. As soon as they get the book, they look at the cover. Oh, Inquisition. What is it? This is quizzes? Instantaneously, they open the book and they dive in and they start looking at the questions. And it's funny because we were at a party. I think I mentioned this yesterday. And it turned into kind of like an impromptu trivia contest. And people were getting into it and laughing and having fun. And it was just, I was happy to see it. It warmed my heart. So this book, Inquisition, which is free, by the way, it's free to you. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com/quiz. Put your name in there and tell us what address you want us to send the book to. And presto, you'll have your free book. You don't pay shipping. You don't pay handling. There are no strings attached whatsoever. This is yours, absolutely free. But you have to go there. relevantradio.com/quiz and tell us where to send it because they're flying off the shelves and there was a huge initial print run. But may I say to you, about half of it's gone now in the space of a week. So if that tells you anything, should I tell them how many were printed? No, I'm not going to say how many were printed, but let me just say it was gigantical.
Is that a word?
Gigantical. It's not even a word. It's a big print run. Way bigger than typically a publisher would print. And that's good because in a week's time, about half of them are gone. So everybody out there who's gotten their free book, they're smart. They know what they're doing because free is good. So don't miss out. Don't miss your free copy. And if you're saying, well, what about Canada? Yes, you can order it in Canada. We have a lot of people who are listening on the Relevant Radio app in Canada. If you have friends and loved ones who are in the military, maybe your son is in the military. He might be in Korea or in Germany or wherever he happens to be, or your daughter or your wife or your husband, somebody in the military, you can order a copy of this free book for them and it will be sent through the military APO, FPO mailing system. So it's available for them as well. But you have to act quickly. This is the key. If you don't act quickly, this book, I don't know if it's going to be another week. I don't know how long it's going to take. It might be less than that. But it will disappear. So don't miss out. Go to relevantradio.com/quiz. Did I miss anything, Cyrus?
Yeah, well, the surprise for me when I was reading the book is how funny it is. So it's not just facts. So it reminded me a lot of the show. Because you always learn something when you're listening to the show. But you also, we have a few chuckles along the way. And that's how the book, I was constantly laughing. And I was like, this is the book version of the show. So well done.
That's right. Yeah, so thanks for saying that. And I think I could put it this way. If you like the Patrick Madrid show, if you like the banter with Cyrus, if you like the inside jokes and all that stuff, you're going to love the book because, as you said, Cyrus, the book really is a kind of literary reflection of the show. That's a good tie-in.
Yeah. Yep. Good time. Right. So 10:30 today, Kale and Josh, head to head.
I'm going to retweet this because I want to make sure everybody sees it. And that is the announcement for the celebrity match that's today. And what time is it at, Cyrus?
10:30 Central.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Denise now in St. John, Indiana. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Patrick. You, my younger father, I have another problem to present to you. A week ago, I got my first copy of what I think is maybe a very conservative newspaper from Illinois called the Will County Gazette. What caught my eye was, quote, "No more boys and girls. Pritzker family leads push to replace the myth of biology." I sit down to read it last night. There is good news at the end of what I'm going to say, but I pick it up and I see Naperville third grade teacher instructs 8-year-old boys how to act like girls. Then the most shocking page, I actually said to my husband, oh my gosh, it is two books. One is called Gender Queer and the other Flamer, and a third book called My Shadow is Pink. This is a rendering, like a cartoon almost, of two.
If I can jump in, Denise, I understand that this is shocking and unsettling. Could you just sort of cut to the chase and tell me what is your question for me on the basis of what you received?
Okay, this is for anybody in Illinois that's listening. These depictions are in the library books, which will be available from K to 12. Now, here's the good news, and then you can understand. Will County School Districts, 25 of them have opted out of the sex ed curriculum. So I'm sort of doing this through you to ask parents to please fight. Because I have a 12-year-old grandson. We're in Indiana. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm still in Illinois as well. So I'm saying, parents, please fight this. When you see these pictures or these depictions, I was sick to my stomach. That's what I wanted to let you sort of spread out. And I don't know about...
Got it. Well, Denise... Oh, sorry about that. I think there was something with the phone there. Fair enough. Yes. So parents, just in general, you know, if you see things like this that are coming up in your school district or your children's school, et cetera, stand up, speak out against it. Thanks, Denise. Appreciate it. Let's go now to Stephen in Oshkosh. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Patrick. I was listening to you earlier about the animals in heaven. And as I was driving, I got a very clear idea of what may actually happen. And I think it's a very unique idea. I believe God's going to give us absolute perfect recollection of our animals' lives with us. We'll be able to recall it as though they're there with us. We'll be able to see it in our mind. So we don't need to have the animals with us in heaven. We will view them in reality.
Very
as
possibly.
Recollection
yeah.
of our lives, the best times in our lives with our animals.
Yeah, very possibly. I've often wondered about that, Stephen. To what extent will we have a super enhanced clarity about our memories in this life? I think we'll have that. I don't see anywhere in Scripture where it tells us that, but I think we could extrapolate from that. So if that's the case, then it seems that what you're saying would be part of that. One thing that I've often pondered is that, and I'm thinking here about as a married man in marriage, the tremendous blessing, I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, it's a family show, of the marital act and how important and how wonderful that is. I'll just leave it at that. And yet, that won't be in heaven. So something that we take for granted as an integral part of our conjugal life as married people, that won't exist in heaven. It won't be necessary in heaven. There'll be something far greater than that. I can't even imagine what that will be. But it's going to be better than that. So my way of reasoning is that for those for whom their animals, their pets, for example, are so dear to them, and I'd say most people probably are more like that, we have to remember that God has things in store for us that so far exceed the best things in life now that it would blow our minds if we could only imagine. It was so mind-blowing that St. Paul couldn't even put it into words when he had a little glimpse of heaven. He said, "Eye has not seen nor has ear heard those things that God has prepared for those who love him." So as to your point, Stephen, yeah, I could see that fitting into this idea of our having a super enhanced recall.
Yeah, it also supports Thomas Aquinas's perception. So if we have perfect clarity recollection of our animals, then Thomas Aquinas is supported.
Yeah, if you look at it that way. And St. Thomas, thanks for the call, Stephen. I appreciate it. St. Thomas, near the end of his life, he was given a vision by God, and he saw something. He saw the truth. He saw God revealed to him, gave him infused knowledge, it seems, about many of these things that he had been writing about. And he stopped writing. And actually, he really dictated more than he wrote. He had scribes who would take down his dictations. And sometimes, this is the most amazing thing, St. Thomas was dictating multiple books simultaneously. So he might turn to Cyrus and dictate a paragraph for the Summa. And then he might turn to, you know, Josh Raymond and dictate a paragraph for another book he was working on. And he could easily compartmentalize and move from one to the other. But whatever it was that God showed him, caused him to say, Everything I have written, and we're talking about the Summa Contra Gentiles, we're talking about the Summa Theologiae, we're talking about all of his commentaries and his voluminous writings at such a high level, and his comment that those who were there heard him say is, everything I have written thus far is like straw compared to the realities I was writing about. Now, his writings are not straw, for us anyway, but for him to say that means that the truth about these things is so far beyond what we can even imagine that if you and I are wowed by what we see, the luminous explanations that are given in Scripture, let's start there at the very top, and lesser works that are not inspired, the writings of the Church Fathers, St. Thomas Aquinas, your favorite saint, etc., these things pale in comparison. They can tell you the truth, but it pales in comparison to what the truth actually is. I'll give you a quick example. The Palace of Versailles in France. It is monumental, is unbelievable. So let's imagine that you're reading the Wikipedia explanation. It's got this many rooms, it covers this many square feet, it's got this many gardens, it's got this many chimneys, and you can read all those facts in a Wikipedia article and get a kind of idea. And all those things are true. Everything that it's saying in there is true. That does not compare to when you actually go to France and you stand there and you see the Palace of Versailles in front of you and you walk in its rooms. That's the kind of difference we're talking about. What we have in this life right now is like a Wikipedia article compared to the real thing. And when you get there, I guarantee your mind will be blown. And I'll be right back.